We just finished up our series called Be the Change. The main purpose of that series was for us to see how our relationship with God, how like the things that we do, putting Him first in our lives, can help give us control of our emotions, so that our emotions will not control us. We talked about like how our independence might not look how we think it should look, and that as we grow in independence, as we get older and have more responsibilities and stuff, that we should grow in dependence on God. We learned about like the friendships and the importance of making godly friendships and relationships in our lives. We talked about Jonathan and David and like how good of a friend that Jonathan was to David and vice versa. Last week we learned about our decisions, like the decisions that we make, how by we'll have peace of mind if we put God first or we make God the forefront of our decision-making process. The main purpose was to, like I said, for us to see that if we put God first and everything that we are doing in our lives, that we don't have to let these things, our friends, our decisions, this newfound independence that we think we want and what we think it will look like, all of that, that if we put God first, we can be in charge and be the change in this situation. We don't have to let these things change us, change who we are, change our walk, change our testimony, like we could be in charge. So now we're going to start a new series today looking at the life of Jesus. We're going to be going through the book of Matthew. So if you guys are like struggling on a place to read, I know I've been on you about reading your Bible. I would say like, hey, how many of you can raise your hand and tell me you read your Bible every day or once a week or twice a week, you know, but I'm not going to do that. But if you're struggling on where to read, you know, or what to read in your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew. So for like the next month, I think there's 28 chapters in the book of Matthew. You can read one chapter a day for the next like month. One chapter a day. And you'll finish the book of Matthew. What? Yes, Proverbs. I'm switching it up. Maybe some of you have already read through Proverbs or you've done the book a day and it's just not interesting to you. The book of Matthew is a little bit easier of a read. So what can you guys tell me about the life of Jesus? Like, what do you guys know about the life of Jesus? Raise your hands. Link, what do you got?
He was born in a stable and his dad was a carpenter.
Born in a stable. Dad was a carpenter. Anybody else? What do you got? Crickets. Ethan?
A ton of people came to see him be born.
A ton of people? What is a ton?
Six or seven.
Oh my God.
Three people came to see him be born. What else? What does anybody got? Girls, what do you got? What's your phone say? You Google it, ChatGPT it, answers, no?
Alright,
what do you got? Anything? Nobody? Man. Life of Jesus, more than half of you guys, have grown up in church, and that's all you can tell me. He's born in a stable, his dad was a carpenter. What else? What else we got, Link?
He fed 5,000 people with like a fish and 2 loaves of bread or something.
Yeah, okay. Link, or Ethan?
Two
what?
Things.
Life lived a perfect, sinless life. Thank you, yeah? Two things, what?
Number one on the one thing, I was going to say that, but you need to tell him to stop trying to ush me.
All right, quit ushing each other. Please. Don't do it or I'm going to move all of you across the room. How about that? Just be hit. Okay. All right. The main focus of this series is to see how Jesus' life is a lot like ours. The one thing that I don't think any of you guys said about Jesus was that he was human. Jesus was a human just like us. Yes, he was born like we were born. He had a name, Jesus, like we have a name. So we're going to look at Jesus' life and see how his life was a lot like our lives. He lived a life with a lot of the same experiences that we have, but at the same time, his life was very different. Okay? We just played a game with names. Our names were given to us at birth, and then we used like an adjective in front of the name, which is like a describing word. So Jesus was born like we were born. Jesus was given a name like we were. Or given a name just like we were, but how he received his name is a little different. So in the book of Matthew, where you guys all should be, we already turned there, in chapter 1, we're going to read verses 20 through 23. Okay, so Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23, raise your hand when you get there. Who wants to read it for me? Are you? You want to read it? 20 through 23, yep. Matthew chapter 1. I said this before we even started praying. for the sake of time to get us going, you know? Whenever you're there, you can go ahead and read it out loud. Sit down, boys. So how did Jesus, in that passage, those four verses that we received, how did he receive his name?
How did he
get his name? Well, like, somebody came to Joseph. It says in verse 20, it says, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, which is Joseph. And then it says that his wife is going to be conceived, is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So Jesus got his name from an angel or in a vision that appeared to Joseph. Jesus also, he had a baby shower. Do you guys know what a baby shower is?
It's where you shower the baby.
So you shower the baby, kind of like, and today we have baby showers for moms that are expecting, like babies, you know, and like what do people usually get at like a baby shower? You guys know?
Gifts.
Gifts. Yeah.
Clothes and diapers.
Diapers, things that the baby would need, right?
For the baby.
Yeah. For the most part, some like clothes, diapers, cribs, car seat, all the things to help the parent out as they're having a new baby they're expecting a baby. So I'm sure, like Lincoln, you said that he had a ton of visitors. Jesus had a ton of visitors.
I said he had 6 or 7.
All right. So Jesus had visitors. Who came to see Jesus shortly after his birth? Like you guys should all know the story. Who came and visited him?
The wise men.
Yes. All right. The three wise men. They came and visited Jesus after his birth. They traveled very far to come and see him. And they brought gifts to Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 11. Somebody get there and read to me, which is the next chapter over. Go ahead, Link. Read it out loud.
Only verse 11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
So, we talked about baby showers. I told you Jesus had a baby shower, and they came to him and they saw him and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. What do you guys think about those gifts? Like, do you think those are gifts that you would give a baby? Like, you know, we said that baby showers, like diapers and things fit for a baby or that expecting parents would need, you know? Baby bottles and cleaning stuff and help them. I mean, gold for stuff. I get it. Obviously, like, Jesus probably doesn't have a lot of use for gold, though, and frankincense and myrrh.
His parents do.
Those are valuable things. Correct. But during this time, these things are, like, they're very valuable. Yes, the parents could use them, I guess, and have the money. But these things are considered, gifts that are fit for a king. Which is weird, right? At the moment the wise men saw Jesus, at that moment they saw Jesus and they knew he was special, you know, a prophecy fulfilled. They knew he was special. So how many of you guys have been baptized in here? How many we got? Most all of you? Yeah? Okay. Now let's go to chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I'm trying to paint the 16 and 17. There's no 6-7 with that. That's a 16 and a 17.
It still has 67.
No, it doesn't.
What's the beginning of each of them without the
team? A 1 is at the beginning of both.
When you say the word.
I get you. Go. Get to 16 and 17 and somebody raise your hand who wants to read it for me out loud.
What chapter?
Adeline, go ahead, sweetie.
I want to.
You lost your chance. 16 and 17.
And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water.
and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Well pleased. Yeah. It's crazy to think about, right? Like, Jesus got, he was baptized. He got baptized. A good chunk of you had raised your hand, and that you guys had been baptized. It's crazy to think, like, how much, you know, Jesus is a human. He was born. He had a baby shower. He got baptized. It's crazy to think of how the similarities between us and Jesus, like, how his life was so, I mean, much like a lot of ours. He went through a lot of the same things that we go through. At the same time, he's not like us. God sent Jesus here to fix a problem that has been here since the garden, since Adam and Eve. The problem is sin. Sin is like all the things that we do on a day-to-day basis, like big, small. It's all the things that we do that are not good. All the bad things that we do, all the sinful things in our lives. Jesus was sent to earth to live a perfect, sinless life. Something God knew that none of us could do. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much we want to try to live our life and be like Jesus, none of us, God knew this, none of us could live a perfect and sinless life. So when we read that passage earlier, turn back to chapter 2, we were talking about the gifts in verse 11. It says, before the wise men gave gifts to Mary and Joseph, like, what did they do? Like, what, in that passage, what were they, what did they do? Once they saw Jesus, they came, they saw him, what did they do? Before they gave him gifts. What you got?
They fell down and worshipped him.
These men traveled a long way, you know, to see Jesus, to come and witness his birth or witness him being born. And upon seeing him, they drop to their knees. They start to worship him. Now, these are wise men. In this day, they were probably well esteemed. Like you said, he was born, you know, in a barn. And these men, you know, noblemen, they're carrying gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they see baby Jesus and they fall down and they worship him. Why they give him gifts that are fit for a king, because like he's worthy of those gifts, obviously. But I should have asked before, I guess. Like, why do you think they fell down and worshipped him? Because they knew that he was worthy of doing so. They knew that he was special. So if Jesus is worthy of gifts fit for a king, and these wise men are falling down and worshipping him, God knows that we're all sinners. Like, earth is a bad place. Everybody's a sinner. He knows we can't, you know, overcome our sins. We're not going to stop doing that. Then why would God send his son here to live on earth? What you got, Link?
To save us.
You're not wrong. You're correct. It's because God cares about us. God loves us. He made us. And the sin that we have in our lives separates us from God, and God desires, he doesn't desire that, he wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to not have sinful lives. So look at Romans 3:23. Some of you may know this.
Romans?
It's the Romans Road. We were just at camp. Both of these are our memory verses. They were the two easiest memory verses that we had at camp. Does any of you remember them?
3:23?
Romans 3:23. Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
For
all have sinned and came short of the glory of God. What about 6:23? For the wages
of sin and death and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Boom. Yeah, memory verses. We pounded these into your head when we were at camp. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sorry. Like I said, God loves us. He doesn't desire for us to spend eternity not knowing him. God knew that the sin in our lives was going to separate us from him forever. So he sends his son, Jesus, to earth to live a sin-free life. He sends him to a world that is messed up beyond belief to pay the debts for our sins. So at the beginning of the class, we played the game. And during the game, we all got to kind of pick an adjective, like for our name, like a describing word for us. The first passage that we read, 1 through 24, we saw that the The angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying that Joseph, the son of David, you know, fear not, take unto thee Mary. And it says in verse 23, what is the name that they say that Jesus shall be called? His nickname or the... There. Go ahead. Say it loud. Emmanuel. Which means what? Which being interpreted is God with us. In order for us to be saved, Jesus needed to come and be with us. Think of like a police officer, like cops. Cops are out and they're patrolling the streets. Like why do they patrol the streets? What is their purpose? Go ahead.
So people don't break the law.
So people don't break the law. To help fight crime, to help save people in need, to help, you know, just have a presence too. Like seeing the police on the street gives you peace of mind knowing that, oh, there's cops out here, you know. You hope that it'll mitigate crime, that people won't do bad things. So just like the police, they were here to be actionable. They have to be meeting people where they're at. This is what Jesus did for us. He meets us where we are at. Jesus comes to earth. He's human, just like us. So he gets to, he's been here. He's lived here. He knows what it's like to live on earth, to deal with the temptation, to deal with the struggles, just like all of us do. The difference, though, is not only was he Jesus, he was also God. Which is why he was able to do what none of us could do. Which is why he was able to save us from ourselves. Why he had to pay that price on the cross was to save us from ourselves. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at experiences that Jesus had in his life that are similar to ours. Like things that he did in his life that are no different than what we did. And we're just going to see how he experienced and lived life just like we did. But the fact that he was God just made all the difference for him. Like that's how he was overcome and to live a perfect and sinless life. So, alrighty. Like I said, be reading in Matthew if you can. It'll be good. It'll help you keep up with us, keep you on the same topic as we are. Most of you, I'm surprised at the answers, I guess, that we got. I feel like more of you should know more about the life of Jesus being where you're at this point in life. So, if you feel like you're off or you were too shy to raise your hand, maybe just read in Matthew this month, this whole, you know, 4 or 5 weeks that we're going to be going through this and, just help to stay with us. So, who wants to pray before we head out?